Thank you, Ben, for reading our gospel lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. But seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. What is the oldest home you have ever set foot in? Do you remember its unique characteristics? Maybe there was a hidden door in some obscure room. What was the layout like? Was there a special feature that made it one of a kind? Who lived there? And what was going on in the world when they called that place home? It's going to sound silly, but whenever I go into an old home, I really take notice of the unique moldings in the ceiling and also the door frames. I can never tell what is original in those homes. I don't have that gift. But I do know that those are typically original to the house. And I often find myself daydreaming about the major world events that people in the house may have discussed. And I want those original pieces of the house to gossip and tell me about the people who lived there and how they made sense of life. What were their conversations like when they waited for news from the front lines? What were their conversations like when they learned that scientists said that they could prove one's humanity based on the size of their skull? When people gathered around the table, what topics did family members avoid? Was it talking about how women were going to get the right to vote? Or how newly arriving immigrants now worked in the local factory? How do they manage to get through diseases and viruses and pandemics? Of course, the expression is, if these walls could talk. They can't. But also, I can't help but wonder what wisdom they could tell us if they could share. Because when life gets difficult, we crave wisdom from those who are no longer with us, thinking they would be able to point us in the right direction. We search for answers or guidance from the cloud of witnesses and long to hear what they have to say to us. We may even talk to them when we are all alone, asking them for advice they learned on earth or advice they now understand in God's presence. And I don't know about you, but I hold that title as saint very high up there. When it comes to mind, it is someone who is perfect, righteous, never scared, never wavered from faith, had it all figured out and pleased God every step of the way, and of course, was holier than I will ever be. Raise your hand if you have this lofty idea of saints that you carry with you. You got a couple going up there. And this is why I appreciate Nadia Bowles Weber's book, Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People. Nadia, who is a pastor, preacher, and author, says that it has been her experience that what makes us the saints of God is not our ability to be saintly, but rather God's ability to work through sinners. Hopefully that gives us just a little bit of breathing space. She says that the title of saint is always conferred. It is never earned. It is always something that is given. It's not a reward for something. Hopefully a little bit more breathing space for you. And she writes that, I have come to realize that all saints I have known have been accidental ones. People who inadvertently stumbled into redemption like they were looking for something else at the time. People who have just a wee bit of a drinking problem and manage to get sober and help others to do the same. People who are as kind as they are hostile. In other words, saints are humans, just like us. They struggled with much of the same things we struggle with today. In our scripture lesson, Jesus is speaking to a large and diverse crowd of people. Scripture says there were people from Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. There were groups that were simply curious and other groups that were shouting to Jesus, "Cure us." There were educated, privileged folk touching shoulders with someone unsure where their next meal would come from. And Jesus looks at his disciples in the midst of the crowd, loud enough for others to hear in on his wisdom. And I'm sure if we try, we could place ourselves in the position of the disciples and listen in to this wisdom we have come to know as saintly wisdom. Jesus begins with, "Blessed are." Not blessed in here is your gift, you've been blessed because you've done this, but blessed as in you hold a special place in God's heart. Those who hold a special place in God's heart are those who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you that hold a special place in God's heart who have been excluded because you follow the way of Christ. Anyone that has read the Gospel of Luke is not surprised by these words. It is the song of Mary, and most likely the way that Mary parented her son Jesus, revealed in his first sermon in the temple, where the poor, the hungry, the suffering, and the oppressed ones have a special place in God's heart. Jesus never wavers from last shall be first and first shall be last, even on a cross. And so if the heart of God was incarnate in Jesus, then we know that God's heart was closest to those who were sick, those who were vulnerable or marginalized, in need of healing, affirmation, love, and empowerment. Saints model the heart of God for all of us. They reveal a piece of heaven here on earth. And while we may jump to Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr., there are everyday saints that show up and show us what it is to be a blessing and to bless. And my mind immediately goes to this wonderful and saintly man from my home church in Cuyahoga Falls, who passed away a couple years ago. Now, Frank volunteered on many boards and committees in his lifetime. He was on search committees. He volunteered in nearly every capacity in the church. However, I do not believe this is why I'm certain Frank is a saint. When he passed away, many began sharing stories about him, some that we all knew and some that were hidden. Unbeknownst to us, Frank would once a week travel to a different grocery store, collect all the bread that was almost but not yet expired, and then would deliver them to homeless shelters or to food banks. Now, this wasn't a direct ministry of the church, but this was the ministry of Frank. Nothing huge. He didn't change a broken law. He didn't donate a whole lot of money. But he embodied God's very heart with those who were poor and hungry. He reversed the conditions of the hungry by filling them. Simple, right? Something anyone could do. But Frank did it. Saints live it. They show it. In the midst of the crowd, Jesus teaches his disciples and all those who are shoulder to shoulder the good news, the way to a life blessed, spirit-filled, and meaningful, the wisdom we have come to recognize in the saints. However, Jesus does not linger there for long, but speaks to all of our humanness, including those saints we often put up high. And again, longtime readers of Luke should not be surprised. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. For those of us in places of privilege, these words can be challenging. We may want to slump in our seat and think, uh-oh, Jesus is talking to me. I, for one, am challenged by these verses, knowing that at home our fridge is stocked with delicious leftovers, our bank accounts are doing quite well, and we subscribe to many different streaming services that keep us laughing. But going back to the wisdom of Nadia, what makes one a saint is not the ability to be saintly, but rather God's ability to work through sinners. This morning we read 28 names. We lit 28 candles and called them saints. What if being a saint has nothing to do with getting it right all the time, but getting it right some of the time? What if in their brokenness and in a life of both blessings and woes, we recognize a child of God that made mistakes, but at the same time revealed for all to see nothing short of the very love of God, revealed in the one that blesses the poor, the hungry, and the weeping. And through their actions, heaven and earth touched. And it drew us closer to them and closer to God.
Did you go poke?
Unlike the moldings or door frames of those old homes I've walked in, saints continue to speak to us and through us. They left a mark on our heart that can never be removed. Their lives continue to inspire us to get it right when we can. They even accompany us when we are lost and confused, for they know those times as well. And so I'd like to end with this poem called To the Saints. To the saints, how do we say thank you? To you who dreamed, fought, believed, suffered. To you who showed us what incredible things humans are capable of under the most challenging circumstances. We kneel to your courage. We pray to acquire your faith. We praise God, the divine in you. Are you with us still in these days of grief? Are you companioning us in this long journey to justice, or weeping at the vanity of it all? Will you tell us your secrets? Whisper softly in our direction about when you wanted to quit, when you got tired, when you weren't sure if any of it mattered or if it was worth the costs. What kept you going? Was it your own prayers to the saints who went before you? Did you long to make them proud? Was it seeing God in your people, yearning to live free? Was it in us, the future ones, now enfleshed? More important than your answers is simply your assurance that you asked the same questions as budding prophets today and kept living love anyways. Kept living love anyways. Kept living love anyways. That is the wisdom of the saints. Amen. Amen.